podcast for my mother. She read to me when I was little, so now I'm returning the favour and you're welcome to listen along. It's Thursday and that means I'm reading something offbeat. Sundays are for classics, but whatever I'm reading, it's always great writing. Tonight we are in Paris at the Musée d'Orsay in the current day, and we are standing in front of a very famous painting, Whistler's Mother, by American portraitist painter extraordinaire James Abbott McNeill Whistler. He painted it in 1871 when he was in London. He had been waiting for one of his models to arrive, but she never did, so he got his mother to pose instead. Anna McNeill Whistler, then 67 years of age, could hardly pose standing for hours and hours, so her dutiful son allowed her to sit, and he painted her in profile. I'm sure many of you recall the painting, but for those who don't, please Google it. It is a very striking work. You probably have seen it before. It is a realist masterpiece. And young Jemmy captured his mum perfectly because she was a deeply religious woman, and she appears so as a very austere believer in the painting. He was living the bohemian life of the artist in London, and whenever she came to visit, he had to hide his mistress and, as he put it to a friend, quote, purify the house from cellar to eaves, close quote. It makes me think of all the people who are secret smokers and who never smoke in front of mother. Whistler gave his work a sort of pretentious arty title, Arrangement in Grey and Black Number 1. But no one cared, and no one cares today. The painting is known as Whistler's Mother, and it was a sensation from the moment he finished it. As it happens, Whistler's mother was a very handy writer. So tonight I'm reading Whistler's mother in a letter to her sister about the famous portrait, Whistler's mother. I'll just quickly mention another portrait mentioned in the letter, which is Whistler's amazing portrait of Frances Leyland. That might have been called a study in beige. You can see it at the fabulous Frick Museum in New York City, one of my favourite places on earth. But I digress. There is a lot to say about James Abbott McNeill Whistler. What a life he led. But that will have to wait for another episode of this podcast, because he wrote two terrific little books. Not just a great artist, but also a great writer. One book is called The Gentle Art of Making Enemies, and another, a very famous book called The 10 O'Clock Lecture, in which he very helpfully laid out his view of art, and I think you might find it enjoyable to hear from the artist before I get to his mother. So here is Whistler in his own words. Quote, "Nature contains the elements in colour and form of all pictures, as the keyboard contains the notes of all music. But the artist is born to pick and choose and group with science those elements that the result may be beautiful. As the musician gathers his notes and forms his chords until he bring forth from chaos glorious harmony. To say to the painter that nature is to be taken as she is to say to the player that he may sit on the piano. That nature is always right is an assertion, artistically as untrue as it is one whose truth is universally taken for granted. Nature is very rarely right, to such an extent even that it might almost be said that nature is usually wrong. That is to say, the condition of things that shall bring about the perfection of harmony worthy of a picture is rare and not common at all." End quote. So that's where the artist was coming from. Let's now hear from the artist's model, the old dear, Whistler's mother, in her own words. She was religious, no doubt, but she sure was guilty of the sin of pride, at least pride in her boy. Let's begin. November 3, 1871, Chelsea, London. My own dear sister, my dear Julia, if you could hear the struggle Jamie has gone through in his persevering work to finish pictures, you would understand the transition from hope deferred, which maketh the heart sick, to the cheering present and future work. But I must tell you first of another divine lesson taught me in my intense sympathy for dearest Jamie. A lovely study ordered 2 years ago by a wealthy MP was promised in August. A beautiful young girl of 15 had posed for it. She was a novice and soon wearied of standing and pleaded illness. Then her brother, in play with her as she was at home, hurt her seriously, and she had convulsions and could pose no longer. Poor Jamie does not relieve his trouble by talking of it, but I saw his misery. But he's never ill. His talent is too eager. If he fails in an attempt, he tries another. So I was not surprised at his setting about preparing a large canvas, late though it was in the evening. But I was surprised when the next day he said to me, "Mother, I want you to stand for me. It is what I have long intended and desired to do, to take your portrait." I was not as well then as I am now, but never depressed Jamie by complaints. So I stood bravely 2 or 3 days, whenever he was in the mood for studying me. His pictures are studies, and so I stood as a statue. But he realized it would be too great an effort, so my dear patient artist, for he is greatly patient, as he is never wearying in his perseverance, concluded to paint me sitting perfectly at my ease. I must introduce the lesson experience taught us, that disappointments are often the Lord's means of blessing. If the youthful Maggie had not failed Jamie as a model for The Girl in Blue on the Seashore, which I trust he may yet finish for Mr. Graham, he would have had no time for my portrait. Jamie had no nervous fears in painting his mother's portrait, for it was to please himself and not to be paid for in other coin. Only at 1 or 2 difficult points did I hear him ejaculate, "No, I can't get it right. It is impossible to do it as it ought to be done perfectly." I silently lifted my heart, that it might be as the net cast down in the lake at the Lord's will, as I observed him trying again. And oh, my grateful rejoicing in spirits, as suddenly my dear son would exclaim, "Oh, mother, it is mastered, it is beautiful," and he would kiss me for it. Some few of his most intimate friends came. Mr. Rose says when it is exhibited next spring, he shall go every day to see it. Mr. Rossetti, the poet and artist, in a note to Jamie after he had been here, said, "Such a picture as you have now finished of your mother must make you happy for life and ought to do good to the time we are now living in." And now that dear Jamie is at Speke Hall, the painting is there. I will just extract from Mrs. Leyland's letter to me what her little daughters said of it. "Isn't it the very way Mrs. Whistler sits with her hands folded on her handkerchief? Oh, it is exactly like her." Jamie sent me a sketch of my portrait with Mrs. Leyland's own portrait and a painting by Velázquez, the two on either side of mine, covering the wall at Speke Hall, one whole side of the great dining room called the banqueting hall. He told me that the two portraits bore the comparison with the painting of the famous Spanish artist to his satisfaction. When it is photographed, I hope to send you one. Thankfulness to God is my emotion, and it was a mother's unceasing prayer while being the painter's model for the expression shown. Ever your fond, sympathizing sister, Anna. And that's where we'll leave it tonight. Isn't that a gorgeous and charming letter? What a proud mama. The poor girl who was injured and couldn't model anymore, well, Whistler's mother didn't care about her, only about her boy. And fair enough, that's what mothers are for, to be on their kids' side. So shout out to my mutti. Shout out to all the mums listening. I think we can get where Whistler's mother was coming from in her lovely letter. And on that note, I'll sign off. But before I go, to the listeners who have emailed with suggestions, thank you so very much. Lord of the Flies, Of Human Bondage, these are terrific suggestions. Keep them coming. Thank you so much. The email is nudireads@gmail.com. And do keep up the reviews on Apple and Spotify. They really help the pod to grow. Right. It's been a short one tonight, but I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back on Sunday, 9 p.m. Sydney time with a classic. And I wish you all a great rest of the week and a wonderful Easter 2022 break. Till next time then, take care. It's slippery out there. And thanks for listening to Nudie Reads.